Now I want to speak to you tonight in the words that the Lord Jesus used in John chapter 10 and verse 9. And the Lord Jesus could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pastures. We used to sing with the children, one door, and only one. And yet, the sides are two, inside and outside. Which side are you? And I'm sure almost everyone in the meeting tonight will be able to say that I'm in the inside. I believe that the gospel message is the greatest message that this world could ever have heard. It's a message from heaven, right from the very heart of God, right down to the very heart of men and women and young people. I sometimes feel sad that if there's no unsaved people in the meeting, that some of our brethren and preachers turn to minister the word. I feel in my own heart that there's no greater message than the gospel message. And whether you're a sinner, or whether you're not a sinner, you're saved by sovereign grace. I want to tell you, I believe that you'll love to hear the gospel message proclaimed. And I'm going to preach the gospel tonight without any apology. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. I've been at the meetings, you know, for a long time. And I've seen some men, and I've seen some women, and some young people at a gospel meeting. And I've seen them staying behind, and speaking to them, and saying to them, are you prepared to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm going to serve Him forever. And there would be a pause. The tears would be seen. And then they would say, yes. And I'd say, well, don't tell me. Speak to the Lord and tell Him. Tell Him to come into your heart. Tell Him you're going to serve Him forever. And it's a great joy to walk away from a gospel meeting. See a man or a woman or a young person come to know Christ as their personal Savior. You can look back tonight. You can look back to a time when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may have struggled for days, weeks, maybe months, but there came a time in your experience when you came to know Christ as your personal Savior, and you've never forgot it. And I'm going to tell you this, heaven's never forgot it. Because that night your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What an experience that was. And you tried to serve Him and live for Him even until this very present day. I want to think of the open door. And then I want to think of the blood-stained door. And then I want to think of the closed door. Open door. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By anyone, any man, any young person, doesn't matter how deep of sin you may be, but you're welcome to enter into that door. Enter into that door. And I want to say this, that if you're in the meeting tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never be in heaven unless you go in that open door. Never be in heaven unless you go into stand the door. By me, if any man enter in. Says any man. It's an open for any, a door open for any person. It's a door open for the lad, the sinner, the deepest dive. It's a door open for the religious person. It's a door open for the moral person. It's a door open for everyone, the old, the young. It doesn't matter what circumstance of life you're in, the door is open for men and women and young people. What a privilege it is for the door to be open. What like is it inside the door? What like is it when you come inside the door? Oh, the joy it is to go inside the door. You remember that time? When you went inside the door, your sins were forgiven. All the sins that you can remember and forget, when you went inside that door, your sins were forgiven. All your sins were forgiven. Everyone in your sight for heaven. When you took that step, inside the door. When you came into that inside the door, there was mercy. Don't hear so much about the mercy of God. I like to think about it. Mercy is God giving back that which we deserve. Every one of us deserve to be cast out. Every one of us deserve to be judged. Every one of us deserve to be lost. But when you went inside that door, he kept it back. No more judgment. I like what it says in Luke chapter 15. When the publican went in to pray, he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And what is he saying? "Lord, when you think upon me, look upon the blood and the mercy seat, keep back that which I deserve." You remember that night? Mercy. But when you come inside that door, there was grace. There's not a lot of grace going about today. Because mercy is God keeping back the judgment I deserve. Grace is God giving me that which I don't deserve. I never deserved the love of God. I never deserved God to send His Son into the world to be my Savior. I never deserved it. But God in His grace has devised a means whereby that me, as a guilty sinner, like you, who is a guilty sinner, and He's come and given me the grace of God, the unlimited grace of God. And every day that you and I live, we can enjoy the grace of God. God giving that which we don't deserve. Gives us joy. Inside the door, He gives us joy. Oh, the joy. Sometimes we go about as if our long faces and all the rest of it. But inside this heart of ours, because our sins are forgiven, because He's kept back that which I deserve, because He's given me something I never deserve, there is a joy in our heart, in our experience day by day. As we learn, it gives us joy, it gives us peace. And we're peace by the death of the cross. I tell you, remember that day you come in. You come in that open door, and He gave you joy. He gave you peace. But He also gives you satisfaction. For since I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only are you saved by the grace of God, but you're saved to live for Him, and you're going to be satisfied. We often sing the hymn, "I cried the broken cistern's love, but the fountain failed. But once I came to Him, that fountain, we enjoyed the joy and satisfaction that He can give." And you remember that day, satisfied the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with good things. He also gives a purpose. We not only say it to be able to sing these lovely hymns, not only are we saved to say that, but with a full of joy, but He gives us purpose. He says that you'll go in and out. There's a liberty. There's a purpose in life. You'll go in to worship and you'll come out to serve. You're not saved just to sit back. This morning we gathered together, and we worshipped. But was to serve. To serve the way that He wants us to serve. Lord Jesus, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The open door. I want now to think of the blood-stained door. There would have been no peace, no forgiveness, no sin without the shedding of the blood. The door that is stained by blood. I want to think of the Exodus chapter 12 for a moment or two. There were people there, they were in bondage. That's out in the world today. There's people that are in bondage. There's drug addicts and they would like to be free. There's alcoholics who would love to be free. There's those who are deep in sin and would like to be free. There's those who are religious without Christ and would like something to satisfy them. They're in bondage. God says, you'll take a lamb. And He says, you'll keep that lamb. It's to be blemish. It's to be perfect. It speaks about the Lamb of God, God's provision. He says, I want you to take the lamb. And it's to be perfect. He says, I want you to keep it. He says, I want you to keep it for 4 days, from the 10th to the 14th day. Not to see if the lamb is perfect, because the lamb has to be without blemish before it was taken. It was kept so that the people who had that lamb could enjoy the perfection and all the glory of the lamb. The Lord Jesus, He traveled this scene for 3.5 years, not to tell people He was perfect, not to show that He was perfect, but so that we could enjoy the perfection and the beauty and the loveliness of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Then He says, you slay the lamb. While the lamb was for the house, the whole congregation had to slay it. At the Calvary's cross, the whole congregation slew the Lamb of God. They took the Son of God and they put Him upon a cross and they put a suspicion over Him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. It was written in Latin. That was the military world. It was written in Hebrew. That was the religious world. And on the cross, at Calvary's cross, there the political one, they wrote it above him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And all together, the intellectual, the political world, and all the other worlds, the Greek world, the intellectuals, and they took him, and they nailed him upon the cross. The whole congregation put the lamb to death. And then he says, you take the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. I want you to take the blood, and I want you to put it on the lintels of the door. I want you to put the blood so that I can see it. God wants to look down and see the blood on the lintels of the door. My dear friend, that's the only way that you get your sins cleansed. God wants to look down and see the blood. That's what satisfies the heart of God. The blood of His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And God looks down, and on the lintels of the door, there was the blood. God says, I want to see something else. I want to see it in the doorposts. Won't you just apply the blood on the doorpost so that the world can see that you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? There's something wrong with your neighbor. There's something wrong with my life. If my neighbor can't see, my working colleagues can't see, that I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You've got to put the blood. You've got to apply. You've got to apply on the doorposts. And then I want to see it in the basin. Now the basin is not the kitchen utensil that we see. The basin is the hollow of the step, the sand step, with a continual walk. As I walked in the house with a continual treading, there was a hollow in the step. And in that step, they had to pour the blood, apply the blood. And I like to think that Satan looks up. And all the hosts look up at this and see the blood. They can't touch me. I'm cleansed with the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that Satan can't touch you? Because you've applied the blood. The blood's on the lintels. The blood's on the doorposts. The blood's on the basin. And when Satan looks up, he can't touch you. He looks up. And every believer is secure because the blood separates him, you and me. What a joy that is. What a joy that is. When you read Revelation chapter 14, it says this, that Satan, the devil, is the one that goes to the throne of God and accuses the brethren. The bee with the sole bee. Satan accuses the brethren. Goes to the very throne of God. And sometimes he's got my name. And he's never got your name. While we're saved by sovereign grace, we don't always say the things we should. We don't always do the things that we should. We don't always go the places that we should go, and sometimes go to places that we shouldn't. Satan comes up to the throne of grace. And I love to think that's that. Comes up to the throne of grace and mentions my name. The answer is forgiven. Answers my name, his sins is blotted out. He's answered and the deed speaks to my name. George Lonsdale thought something of that. Blotted out behind my back. As far as God and the throne of God is concerned, I'm perfect. Satan, when he comes and accuses you and accuses me of some things that we say, some things that we do, some things where, places where they go, and he loves to go to the very throne of God and say, "Look at that, forgiven." Why? Because there is blood. The blood has been applied, and he says, "Remember their sins no more." He doesn't say that he's forgotten our sins. No, he doesn't say that. God never forgets. But he remembers our sins. No more. No more. The blood's on the lintels. The blood's on the side posts. The blood's in the basin. And you and I have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. I like what it says in John's epistle. John's epistle says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now that word cleanses is in the continual sense. And what's John saying? John says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses, 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 and cleanses." He's got to do it. For every day possibly, and every week, your thoughts and no actions and all that. When we sin, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy that? To think that you're sheltered by the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus, the blood-stained door. I can tell you this, you'll never be saved, you'll never come to know Christ as your personal Savior, unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saddened sometimes. I hear so many bloodless gospel messages. And you can stand here and preach as long as you want, but you'll never get anyone trusting Christ as a personal Savior unless you preach the cross, unless you tell people they need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then I want to close by speaking about the closed door. When the door is shut, when the master of the house will shut the door, and it says, you yourself, shut out. How sad. How sad. To think that you've come to gospel meetings, Sunday school, and come to gospel meetings and you're left convicted of your sin and wanted to come to Christ as your personal Savior, procrastinated it. Say, oh, the 20th time and the door is shut. And the Bible says you're outside. Outside. And it says that you seek to enter and shall not be able. To be able. Now, sad, and I'm not going to labor this one. Because I believe everyone in the meeting tonight has come to know Christ as a personal Savior and been cleansed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be sad. If there should be one, and you're standing outside, and you're trying to enter, and you won't be able. John's in Revelation tells us of another door. And with this one finished, he looks around John the Apostle and he sees all the churches. And he says, this church is wrong, that church has sinned, and that church has been adjusting and repentance. But then he says, I saw a door open in heaven. Now I heard the voice saying unto me, come up higher. That's what you and I are waiting for, you know. We're waiting for the door to open in heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again and he's going to take us. A door open in heaven. And what did you see, John, when you went into heaven? I saw a lamb. What was like a freshly slain? The one, the Lamb, that will shed his blood and Calvary's cross is now in the midst of heaven, and we're waiting for the door to open and for you and I to go up. And what we're going to see? We're going to see the Lamb, and he's going to be freshly slain. Calvary's going to be remembered in heaven for all eternity. The blood that was shed. But not only that, what did you hear when you went to heaven? And I like this. Singing. Singing. Praying? No. There's praying in hell, but there's not going to be any prayers in heaven. I often think that in hell, when people would never pray in life, will pray in hell. Go tell my friend not to come to this place. And I feel sad when I hear gospel meetings and I'm not told. And it would be sad if someone came into a meeting here some Sunday night and died and lost eternity And he said, I came and believe in gospel meeting, the singing roof crowd. There's a preacher on the platform and preached, but he never told me that I was going to be lost. If you're a gospel preacher, you're responsible to tell them how sad I would be accountable in a coming day for not telling them. How sad it would be a gospel preacher will be held accountable for not telling them. He came to the gospel meeting and he didn't tell them. Tell them that there's going to be prayer in hell but no prayer in heaven. That there's going to be singing. And there's not going to be any singing in hell. But there's going to be singing in heaven. And we're waiting until the door is open. We're waiting for the shout. He used to be a deaf brother in our assembly. He always sat at the back. He was a lovely old man. And he never heard a thing. And he said to me, George, I never heard a word. But I'll hear the shout.
I'll hear the shout.
You know, it's in for a shout. The door's going to open and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing unto him that he loosed us and washed us from our own sins. What day that's going to be? Pretty soon. And as we look around us today and look at Israel and look at the Arab nations and all the rest of it and see what's happening, you realize that it won't be long until the door opens. You and I, it's in a moment. I like to think we're only one moment away from heaven. The scripture says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. My brother, my sister, you're only a moment away from heaven. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up. And we're going to sing. We're going to sing unto him that has loved us and washed us from our sons in his own blood. And the blood is going to be mentioned in heaven. I washed in the blood. One door and only one. And let the sides of two. Inside. Outside. What side? Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the provision that thou hast made for guilty sinners to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. As the gospel is being preached up and down the length and the breadth of the land, we pray that there will be a rich and gathering of many precious souls. We thank thee for the company here and for the joy of knowing that they're going to heaven. And we're waiting for the door just to open. And what a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we'll be able to sing where we can't sing now. Pray now a parting blessing. Think of this assembly here, we pray that thou bless it indeed, and enlarge our coasts, as we ask these things now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.